back to the doorstep of Thomas Hardy to complete this, our Christmas concert.
Shortly after 10 o'clock, the singing boys arrived at the Tranter's house, which was invariably the place of meeting, and preparations were made for the start. The older men and musicians wore thick coats with stiff perpendicular collars and coloured handkerchiefs wound round and round the neck till the end came to hand, over all which they just showed their ears and noses like people looking over a wall. The remainder, stalwart ruddy men and boys, were dressed mainly in snow-white smock frocks, embroidered upon the shoulders and breasts in ornamental forms of hearts, diamonds and zigzags. The cider mug was emptied for the 9th time. The music books were arranged and the pieces finally decided upon. The boys in the meantime put the old horn lanterns in order, cut candles into short lengths to fit the lanterns, and a thin fleece of snow having fallen since the early part of the evening, those who had no leggings went to the stable and wound wisps of hay round their ankles to keep the insidious flakes from the interior of their boots.
"Now mind, neighbours," said William Dewey, as they all went out one by one at the door, he himself holding it ajar and regarding them with a critical face as they passed, like a shepherd counting out his sheep. "All of ye, whatever ye do, keep from making a great scuffle on the ground when we go in at people's gates. But go quietly, so as to strike up all of a sudden like spirits. And Billy Chimley, don't you go quite so raving mad as you fain would when you're singing. And you two canker boys, keep your ears open to Michael's fingering. And don't ye go straying into the treble part along a dip in his set, as ye did last year. And mind this, especially when we be in Arise and Hail.